It says my blood pressure is 146. The diastolic, the systolic, is 82. My heart rate is 67. My pulse. Good to be here tonight, Brother Jackson. Good to see you. I appreciate the good singing by the ladies and then the choir leading tonight. I was thinking of a story. I think it'd be all right if I told the ladies this. This year about Christmas time, there's a store over around Indianapolis called Nordstrom. Pretty expensive store. And a woman, right prior to Christmas, went over and got her a dress. $300. She came and told her husband about it, and he said, "Oh, babe," he said, "our budget's tight. So we probably shouldn't be spending money just extemporaneously like that." He could see that the joy kind of evaporated, and he said, "Well, don't worry about it." He said, "We all do things spontaneously." He said, "As a matter of fact," he said, "I believe I know what happened." He said, "The devil made you do that." And he said, "From now on, when the devil tempts you to buy an expensive dress like that, tell him to get behind you." She said, "I did." And he said, "It looked good back there too." So, anyway, we're here tonight, and I'm going to preach a little bit. Old-fashioned style, that's all I know. It's what I grew up on. I haven't hacked any messages, but I wouldn't mind to sometime or other. But thank you, Brother Bacino. Thank you for the church. What an honor to be here tonight. I'm going to preach a message that I've used previously. You know, some evangelists just have maybe a dozen meetings. But J. Harold Smith preached God's three deadlines many, many times. Dr. R.G. Lee preached Payday Someday thousands of times. That was his signature sermon. So I guess it's all right if those fellows can do that. But I want you to turn tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. I want to do my best tonight to brag on the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2. Is everything all right? The Bible said, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Our Heavenly Father, help us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. I want to preach tonight on how shall we escape. I want to give you some examples of people that maybe found it almost impossible to escape. I remember reading about a man in the 1920s, Maggie, by the name of Floyd Collins. He was spelunking in the Mammoth Cave, and he got in there and couldn't get out. His mother put up a memorial for him showing where his death was. I remember reading about how that in early 1942, President Franklin Roosevelt at the time thought that it would be a tremendous loss to the American cause if General MacArthur wasn't liberated from the Philippines. And so in the dead of the night, a boat was sent to get General MacArthur, his son Arthur, and his wife out of the Philippine Islands. And they drove or rode and went for hundreds of miles to safety. But for General Wainwright, he could not escape the Bataan Death March. He was left behind. At the end of that march, they were all emaciated. It looked like they were just skeletons they had captured. General MacArthur, not putting him down, he was there. But General Wainwright could not escape. I remember reading about a couple. Evidently, they were affluent. They had money. They had an elevator. And the story was that they were found 3 or 4 days after entering the elevator. They were dead. He didn't take his cell phone. Could not escape. probably whatever you think politically, and I'm not here for that, but probably one of the greatest communicators in the 20th century may have been Ronald Wilson Reagan, who told Khrushchev, tear down that wall, Mr. Gorbachev. But for Mr. Reagan, by 1994, he went on television and said, I've come to a place in my life. I hate to be such a burden to Nancy, but I'm faced with a situation here from which I cannot escape. What he was referring to is that dreadful disease of dementia. Probably just about everybody in here knows somebody that may have been affected, where the mind closes and where you get to the point you don't recognize your own people. Could not escape. I remember reading about how that the youngest governor in West Virginia, 35 years of age, I will be in West Virginia in a few weeks, and this young man was governor, and he hit the social circuit too hard, got addicted to alcohol, and from it could not escape. His last job was driving a cab in the city of Chicago. He said it was the only place where he could find a little solace. Some of you might remember how that 22 years ago, and it'll soon be 22 years, I'm supposed to speak at People's Baptist Church in McDonough, Georgia for that occasion. How that a man got on the phone and he said something is wrong, called his wife Lisa, and she said, oh babe, she said, we're under attack. The World Trade Centers are under attack. He said, well, he said, there's a man up here. He said, I think the pilot is dead. He said, the man says if we don't cooperate, he said he's of Middle Eastern extraction. And he said, if we don't cooperate, this plane will go down. And she said, oh, Todd. Not knowing what to do, he called a lady by the name of Lisa, got her on the phone. And this Lisa, he told her, he said, would you pray for me? And she recited the 23rd Psalm with him. What Mr. Beamer had decided was that on September the 10th, on a Monday night, he told his wife, he said, I'll fly to San Francisco in the morning for my meeting, flight number 93. But he said, I'll stay tonight here with the kids. Didn't realize that he would get on a plane. Didn't know that other events were taking place in Shanksburg, Pennsylvania. Didn't know about what was going on in other places. But his last words were, let's roll, Mr. Todd Beamer. How shall we escape? I believe today that I need to share with you tonight some very important truths. I believe with all my heart that Christianity can survive without America. I'm not sure that America can survive without Christianity. We're at a crossroads in America. I hate the rain on the parade. I like to be optimistic as much as I can. I still believe there's hope. I believe there's still Bob and Gilead, but I'm here to share with you as I travel the country, and I'm not an expert on anything. I'm just simply saying there's a famine in the land, and it's not for bread alone, but it's for the want of the preached gospel. The Lord Jesus, God in the old Bible, got people's attention through pestilence, famine, and war, those three things. We're living in a time of great deception. And it's going to get worse. The Bible said it would get to the point that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Let me give you three reasons why America's been blessed of the Lord. First of all, we've done more for the poor, the downtrodden. Whenever there's a tsunami, a hurricane, like the situation in Hawaii, been there on that island, the road to Hana. We're usually the first one there. Secondly, we've sent missionaries around the globe with the glorious news of the gospel. That one died, was buried, is risen again and soon coming again. Hallelujah. And thirdly, we've been a friend to Israel. And I hope we always remain so. God said that they were His people. He said, I didn't choose you because you were the greatest in number. He said, you were the fewest in number, but I chose you because I loved you. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? I want to pick the bubble just a little bit more tonight. Did you know that Jesus Christ is 100% man? 100% God. He was a man in the fact that He could eat. He was God in the fact that He could feed 5,000. He was man in the fact that He would sleep, but God in the fact that He would come out of that sleep and rebuke the wind. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. He was man in the fact that He would die, but God in the fact that He would rise over the grave victorious, hallelujah, and is soon coming again. Feel like preaching tonight. How shall we escape? There is an attack going on today. It's an attack upon our Christianity. It's an attack upon the Christ of the Bible. It's an attack upon the church. It's an attack upon the country. It's an attack upon our culture. See, I come from a different day and time. You'll have to forgive me. We were poor people. But see, when I was growing up, grass was something you mowed. I mean, Coke was something you drank. AIDS were the people that worked in the principal's office. And coming out of the closet meant you'd been playing hide and go seek. A different day, a different time. Folks, back then it was a more of a patriarchal society, and I'm not saying that to be dismissive of ladies. I like to be respectful of the ladies. I'm glad that I had a mother.
Amen.
I'm glad that it wasn't an it. I'm glad today that it was my mother. Hallelujah. She's been gone several years, but I've got every hope, brother, that I'll see her again. The Bible said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I'd choke if I didn't get to say hallelujah every once in a while. Oh, I love to say it. As I travel the country, I notice that's a word that's getting to be obsolete. You'd have to choke people to get it out of most of them. They'd say, hallelujah tonight. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I remember when I got saved. Anybody else remember? Hallelujah. Somebody said, did you make a decision? I said, make a decision about what? I was convicted by the Holy Ghost. Is that the way it was with you? I want to tell you something. I'm dropping this in for good measure. You will probably remember as much about how it was before you got saved as you will since you got saved. You can't put a person off in the middle of the Daniel Boone Forest in North Carolina and then him be delivered and he not know it. You can't take a man that's been dead, bring him to life and him not know it. Amen. I like that, don't you? You see, how are we going to escape? I'm a slow learner. I told Miss Shirling that sometime back and she agreed with it. I am a slow learner. I really believe it. I'm not very erudite and scholarly. You know that. I don't know what a thesaurus is all about, do you? I've never studied derivative. Yes, I have. I don't know all about elocution. I've never studied the etymological derivation of words, but I did study Latin and Greek in college because I wanted to be a lawyer. What about that? I wanted to be a lawyer. You can find lawyers every once in a while. They had them down here in Texas. They had on their tombstone said, here lies Samuel Jones, a lawyer And an honest man and a fellow came along and said, I see you're burying them deep, too deep down in here. Let me just say this. How are we going to escape? See, I didn't know that I'm headed to the judgment seat of Christ. Anybody know anything about that? If somebody said, are you going to the Bema seat? Would you say, well, could be. I haven't gotten tickets for it yet. I'm going to go online and see if I got some. I'll tell you when I got online. I got my seat when I was 14 years of age at an old-fashioned altar. I got acquainted with the master of the universe. I found him to be the dearest friend I ever had. It was the wonder of wonders. Oh, the wonders of wonders. When he looked on her face, that this was a little boy that spoke the worlds in their place. It's warming up. The stars and the moon shining brightly on them. The earth and the sun were created by him. I may take a running fit. I may. I'm serious. The wonder of wonders, as she looked down and smiled, that he was her maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given him birth. He was God incarnate, come down to earth. Boy, here is where the last verse gets good. Brother Charles Wycuff wrote this. The wonder of wonders, as she heard his small cry, help me, that this voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. The small hand she held so tenderly had made a dry path through the mighty Red Sea. Baptists used to shout on stuff like this, but we don't do it anymore. We're afraid somebody might hear us. Oh, we wouldn't want them to see us. I've had people say, oh, Brother Fitz, I'm very taciturn. Sure. Timidity is a part of my personality. I'm reticent. I don't get very emotional. I'm expressionless when I get in a crowd, especially when I go to church. But somebody saw them at the ball game and said they squeezed the hot dog right out of the bun. When we go to church, I guess I've got too much that old South stuff in me. You can tell, you know, when a guy wants to eat bologna sandwiches and eat all that fat and stuff and, you know, have lard to clog up your arteries, you know something's wrong with him. But see, I didn't know I was going to the judgment seat. You know what I'm going there for? It's not salvation. I'm going there for rewards. There are 5 crowns that you can win. There's a song we used to sing. It says, must I go an empty-handed and my Savior greet the soul? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? How will we go to the judgment seat? You know, when they had the wedding there, and the king asked them to go out in highways and hedges, I got to thinking, Brother Bacino, see, I'm not very sharp. I got to thinking that maybe that man that went out there and he didn't put a garment on, I got to thinking maybe the guy was poor. Maybe he couldn't afford one. But then it struck home to me. Boy, hold on to the next person beside you because you'll come out of here shouting. The man had been provided a wedding garment. All he had to do was put it on. God, well, I'm going to get a little bit deep here. God saw you sitting where you are before the first bird ever chirped in the Garden of Eden. Now, I'm not Calvinist. I'm not. I don't believe the devil wants all the sinners and that Jesus just wants a few of them. But I'll tell you this, the Bible said we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. It didn't surprise God that things are going to get like they are now. The Lord's not in heaven wringing His hand, wondering what's going to happen. Will the Congress meet or will they do that? No! The Bible knows, tells me that the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. Amen. You see, how are we going to escape, Christians? You're headed to the Bema seat. What will it be like? You know what I believe, Brother Bacino? Correct me if I'm wrong. But I believe there will be tears at the judgment seat. I believe there will be people there that when they see what they could have done and see what they did, maybe there will be such a discrepancy. I was preaching in a church in Salt Lake City, Utah, Bible Baptist Church. And I saw a sign. I couldn't escape it. It said, why focus on the things you cannot keep rather than focus on the things you cannot lose? I wonder tonight, in your heart, are we focusing too much on the temporal, on this present world? See, I've got... I don't know if I'll ever be back up here again or not. At my age, I don't know where I'll be anywhere or not. I went and made our funeral plans the other day. I felt I'd been held up with a gun when it's all over. But I said, put it down. I don't want a funeral. I want to be buried the same day. I don't want people having to come and look and see if I'm really dead or not. The point that I'm trying to get across to you here, we cannot escape the love of God either. Oh, my. Oh, I love that old song. I love that song. I put it down here. He said, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Brother Jackson, you and I will shout on that, won't we? Said, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned He stood, sealed. I can't do it. Seal my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, helpless, lost were we. Blameless Lamb of God was He. Sacrificed to set us free. Hallelujah, what a Savior. November 79, we took a little boy, our son. Little gray casket. John Clay, he had a distinctive name. And we had to give up. A medulloblastoma, a malignant brain tumor, had taken his life. It changed our life. Just about caused me to have a nervous breakdown. And maybe Shirlene as well. She still has nightmares about it. But I want to tell you, on some glorious morning, when I enter that city and I go through the celestial gate system, I believe I'll recognize it. I believe I'll recognize my Savior. A little girl looked up at her mother, and her mother saw her looking, and she said, Oh, honey, said, I see you're looking at my scars. The little girl didn't say anything. She said, but baby, when you were young, our house broke out in a fire. And said, I reached right in the fire and I brought you out. And said, I've got these scars. The little girl said, oh, mommy, they're beautiful. One day, Brother Bacino, I'll bow at His feet and I'll say, thank you, Lord, for the scars. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Thank you for the ribbon side there. We'll bow at His feet. No wonder the 4 and the 20 elders are saying, Amen, Amen, Hallelujah. Who was, who is, and is yet to come. When the twin towers were coming down, God wasn't up there saying, oh my, what's taking place now? They're on the other side of Jordan. There may have been a people saying, come on. Are you ready for that glad reunion day? Does it warm your heart just a little bit? See, I believe we're living in the day of doctrinal apostasy, moral deterioration, and the rise of many antichrists. Deception will become the rule, and you'll be surprised at the people that will buy into it. I know people today, and I'm not being smart aleck, I'm going to soon be through. They left our church and said they wanted to go to one where the grandkids go. Sounds good, don't it? It's a good way to make a decision. What if they would decide to be whatever? Would you still go there? I'm telling you, if the doctrine is not right, the details don't matter. If a church doesn't preach salvation by grace through faith, you need to get away from it in a hurry. The church is not a social club. The church is not a soup kitchen. The church is not a social agency. It's not a fraternity. It's a living organism. And you get into it by being saved, born again. I'm glad I was born into it. I've been adopted in. Hallelujah. Amen. See, the time is, and I'm closing now in just a moment. The abnormal has become normal. The abhorrent has become acceptable. And what God calls reprobate, we call an alternative lifestyle. Now last, and that's, I hate to get on this one. How are we going to escape if you don't know Christ, the great white throne judgment? How are you going to escape? There is no escape. These folks that were riding on plane 93, one of them was the Solicitor General's wife. There was no escape. The president couldn't escape, although he was president. He couldn't say, well, I don't want this disease. I think I'll just not acknowledge it. No, a greater force was working. I'd like to ask you a question tonight. I go to a lot of places, and I don't say that braggingly. I believe that unfortunately I may see people in various church services that know nothing about the love of God. Unfortunate, but it's true. They had a membership. They were baptized. They could recite the catechism or the Apostles' Creed. But it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot escape. You cannot escape the judgment seat if you're saved. You cannot escape the great white throne judgment if you're unsaved. There is a just God. I close with this. I think sometimes we tell people how to be saved when maybe we ought to tell them why. Why do you need to be saved? Why? Why believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? One is because you're a sinner. You've offended a thrice holy God, all righteous, all knowing, eternal God. Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father is God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And as a result, we need a way of escape. Would you stand with us tonight? I'll have Brother Bacino, if you'd like to give the invitation. How shall we escape, Brother Pastor?
Brother Phipps, thank you for that sermon tonight. How shall we escape? I hope you remember it. It's vitally important if you're not saved. You've often heard me say from the pulpit, born once, die what? Twice. Born twice, die once. Have you been born again? It's not anything mysterious. Read John chapter 3 if you've never heard of it. It came from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you. He said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again.
Amen.
That which is born of spirit is spirit, and that which is born of flesh is flesh. Are you born of the spirit? You know, we are made of body, soul, and spirit, but the world that we live in makes us think only about our body, right? It's all about the fleshly appetite. But God gave us a spirit. Is your spirit dead or is it alive? When I got saved, my spirit became alive. Eternally alive.
Amen.
And so can yours. So I trust tonight that if you were to die, and no one here knows, it's like Brother Andrew said, 9/11, a lot of people made plans.
Yep.
Brother Todd made a plan to go to San Francisco, but he never got there. Do you know if you die, you go to heaven? Be the greatest peace that you'll ever have. I hope you will. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, you know who's here tonight because nothing is hidden from you. You are El Ro, the God who sees. You see all. You see our sinfulness. You see our waywardness. And then you also see all the good because it has all come from you. But Lord, we ask tonight the Holy Spirit do what we can. Move upon the hearts of anyone here who's not absolutely positive that if they die, to go to heaven. May they be bold and brave and come for the invitation. Oh God, may they come and just ask Jesus Christ to save them. May they repent of sin, recognize it, put Jesus, our Savior, on the cross. But hallelujah, Jesus rose from the dead to justify us in your holy eyes, oh God, our Father. And we thank you that you could look upon us through Jesus without sin. Save that soul that may be nearest hell in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask Connie if she'd play just quietly, just as I am. And we have some cushions up here in the front, one in front of the piano and one in front of the pew here and one in front of the opposite pew on the other side. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, won't you come and ask the Lord to save you? If you'd like somebody to speak with you, I'd be happy to set you up with somebody who could share the gospel and be sure that you're on your way to heaven. And if God tugged on your heart in some other way tonight, don't hesitate. Just come and do business with God. All of us have things we've got to get rid of in our lives, so God could use us in a mighty way. And so come to the altar.